Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Blog Talk Radio Land. This is me, your host, Wayne Kligman, with another great show of Radio Free Mafia. And today, to talk all about late night Vegas, the Vegas we really went and didn't know lots about because we're all asshole men, I brought to you from a hidden location and a hidden state in a hidden universe, the one, the only, Julian Romero, a man that if Vegas knew where he was, they would have to hunt him down and kill him because he's taking away so much money from casino. A man, so much versus a threat, that Steve Wynn might have actually truly quit gambling because of his existence. So with no further ado, let us bring him in now. Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great. I mean, that's a hell of an introduction, and I'm excited to sit down and chat with you for a while. And, man, I just wish one part was really true, the money part. I mean, because, man, that would be nice.
it would be. And I think by now we can sort of know if we go to Vegas, we should be prepared. Let me rephrase it. I know if I ever make it to Vegas, I know I'm going to leave every penny I bring to Vegas on the table.
That's very true. I always have a budget where, all right, if it goes, it goes. But hopefully I come back with a little something. And 8 times out of 10, usually it goes.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you have it, in my opinion, something I said in the show more than once, as long as you feel you got treated well and you had a good time, right? You didn't bank up the family, you know, stuff like that. You know, what the hell? It's going there to have fun, right? You're not there to join the Mormon choir. So, let's speak about Vegas, late night Vegas after the witching hour. For reference, the witching hour, I'm going to define as 1 o'clock in the morning, right?
Okay.
So, we're young men. Say we're in our 30s, 40s, right? It's 1 o'clock in that night, right? We've had a couple of drinks. We've had a couple of spins in the wheel. We're feeling pretty good. And we ran across to you and we said, sir, we understand that you know everything cool about late night Vegas. But where should we go now? What are you going to tell us to do?
Well, it depends on you. Obviously, I'm going to take a good look at you guys and, you know, see if you guys are the partiers or if you guys are, you know, tourists. You know, what are you looking to do? Are you looking just to party more? Are you looking to go to strip clubs? Are you looking to go, you know, hang out and check out places you've never seen? So there's Vegas has so many different realms to offer. And, you know, with Vegas and nightlife, I think the things that go hand in hand is usually drinking, guys, strip clubs, having a good time, losing some money one way or another. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're saying strip clubs. We're Midwestern guys, right? The wives are doing whatever the wives are doing at home. We're going to hit those strip clubs. Tell us about strip clubs in Vegas.
It's funny because there's a whole different dynamic of strip clubs. I mean, you can go to different places throughout the city where, you know, there's some on the outskirts and there's some in the city. And you have places like Larry Flint's that's, you know, on the drive-in that you see as you're coming into Vegas. And, you know, it's across the 15 freeway. So you can take a free shuttle from the strip and they take you straight over there, obviously no charge. And they do things like, you know, they charge you a 2-drink minimum to get in. And then to get in, you know, you just start walking around, do what you like, see where you want to go. There's different stages. Obviously, there's girls walking around everywhere. But there's different type of strip clubs. And that's one thing, you know, I've been noticing over the last few years. We've talked about it on my podcast, Vegas Confessions, is we've talked about the different style of strip clubs. There's some where you can go and you can actually have dinner. And you can, you know, watch a show and eat while you're in the presence. And then there's also some where I think that the way it works is if they're 18, if they serve alcohol, they have to be covered. But if they don't serve alcohol, they can be fully nude. So there's different, there's different dynamics with the strip clubs out there. And there's also some like me and my wife and a bunch of friends, we took a group of about 30 after a Super Bowl a couple years ago to a place called Babes at the time, and it's in Henderson. And we jumped in a shuttle. We went over there, and it was probably 30 of us. We all had our wives, and we went out. And this was different because this was the first time where, you know, we went as a group. Usually, you know, we go and we check things out, whether I'm by myself with friends or if I'm with the wife, we like to go check places out. So we went to this place, Babes, 30 of us in a van. And once we got there, you know, they're like, hey, you guys are locals, right? And we're like, yeah, of course. Why, what's up? And they're like, oh, yeah, no cover for the locals. So we're like, hell yeah. So we automatically walk in with no cover. This place is obviously every strip club dark, you know, a little shady looking at first. But we find a booth over in the back that sat pretty much our whole group. And we brought some extra chairs in. And, dude, these girls came out. Got us drinks. They've actually brought out hookahs and stuff. So we were sitting there smoking hookahs all night. I mean, titties bouncing around. Everybody's having a good time. Drinks are flowing. I think at the end of the night, all of us walked out spending $30. Everybody chipped in. We had enough to tip. We were all, I mean, let's just say mission accomplished was done by the end of the night. We had the guys who looked uncomfortable. We made sure they were the first ones to get lap dances and pulled away. So we have to look out for friends. But, I mean, it all varies with strip clubs and what you're looking to do specifically in Vegas. Because, again, it doesn't have to be a strip club. I mean, there's places you can go check out that are open late at night and you can get some really good food with good company, you know. So, I mean, and there's a lot of things to do. There's casinos where the CEOs and the owners are on the floor and you can actually go shake their hand, have them a conversation, no. You know? So, I mean, there's so much stuff where you can actually go down and do so much more than, you know, the adult nightlife. But I mean, let's be real. The nightlife is fun, especially when you're out with a group of people, splurge a little bit. What you're on vacation for? It's Vegas.
It's Vegas. And that's right. I mean, we're talking about late night Vegas, but I'd love to meet a casino owner of almost anyone, right? I mean, I'd love to be met Benny Binion, but if I meet him, I'm going to be kind of scared because he's been dead for a while, right? I mean, that would have been fun, right? Even meeting the people behind Hooters Casino before they sold it would have been enjoyable, right? Because that takes a unique personality. I understand that the owner of the D sometimes can be found on the floor. That's a nasty story.
Yeah, from what I hear, he's always down there on the weekends. He's always in the casino. He sits at the long bar. I mean, he's always willing to, you know, to have a chat with people. But there is a thing to be said about the gentleman. He shakes so many hands over the last, you know, 30 years that, you know, at the end of the night that when he's done shaking people's hand, he has to use an ice pack on his hand because he's shaking so much. So now he just kind of, if you do see Derek Stevens at the D, just walk by, give him a little fist bump, you know.
Right, absolutely. I mean, hi, how you doing? I like your club. I like the casino. You know, thank you very much. You know, it goes a long ways. I expect he doesn't get a lot of that.
You'd be amazed how much he's a sports fan. I mean, he'll sit there and talk sports with you all night. So you just got to prepare yourself. If you have a good conversation with the guy, he's going to want you to come back, hang out, and just it's who he is. He's good people.
Well, this is fascinating because we're going to have to go hit back to the late night part of Vegas. From what I'm understanding from this conversation, right, that I'm sure I'm not going to meet every casino owner in Vegas. That's not going to happen. I may not meet any of them, right? But the odds are if I ask and they're around, they might say, well, he's over there, she's over there. Yeah, you can meet this person who might be over there, you know, such. That's interesting because I myself – would love to meet these people because, in my opinion, we won't go there. We'll back in that kind of part of the conversation in a bit. But let's talk more late night in Vegas. How much does it cost me for a lap dance?
A lap dance? Basic $20. Yeah. Now, if you're looking to go to, you know, a back room, we've had those instances too where one time me and my wife, we went out to Hustlers to go check it out by ourselves. And, you know, we were there for about an hour or so. We were watching a couple different dances, having some drinks, hanging out, me and her. And a girl came over, you know, started filling her up. And, you know, of course, they're like, oh, well, let's go to the back room, all three of us. And they're like, no, we're good, you know. And she's like, you know, for, you know, a good price, we could have a lot of fun. I'm like, what's a good price? Just curious, you know. Oh, $600. Like $600 to spend. Yeah, exactly. To spend what, a half hour with you and my wife, who I can already get what I want from, but to include you. But yes, it can be pricey, all in what you're looking for. I mean, there's private rooms, there's back rooms, there's, you know, if you pay the right penny, you can get what you want.
Absolutely, but we've learned before that if I'm at casino, whatever. I'm at the bar, and some really nice-looking woman shows up. Here I am. I'm a 62-year-old man, right? Fat man at that, right? And she says, buddy, do you want a date? Because I'd love to date you. I should probably go anywhere with her because she's going to try to roll me at take some type of advantage with me, correct?
Yeah, 8 times out of 10, she's probably a worker looking to get over on somebody. But who knows? You might just have that charm, or maybe you have just a really big wallet.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking if I go to using hustlers, because it could be an influence, but using hustlers, if a dancer comes up to me and says, I'll take you in the back room for $5, right? She's going to get her $5 and we're going to do whatever, right? She's not going to try to roll me.
If you're at the strip club, I'd imagine, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, but again, you know, it's illegal as all get out, is it? Or no?
It's illegal in the city of Nevada. In the county, everything's totally legal as far as, you know, the ranches and escorts and stuff like that. So outer limits, everything's legal. That's why they have all the ranches, the cat houses and stuff like that, where it's legal. In the city of Nevada, it's actually illegal.
Right. So, but Henderson is not in the city of Nevada, obviously. Obviously, city of Las Vegas,
right,
correct?
Right.
So you could do something in the back room. It's technically not illegal there. Right. Okay. I get it. I see what they're doing. So, okay, we know that the hustlers might be the place to go. What would be another late night strip club of some renown that we might want to check out?
Well, again, we've heard Treasures is a really good spot. There's a Crazy Horse that gets a lot of feedback because, you know, there's a spot over in the area where there's, you know, a few strip clubs back to back to back. And there's even a place that I recently saw come up that's called, get ready for this name, and it says it all, Best Strip Club. So it's actually on Paradise. It's called Best Strip Club, no other kind of name. So I mean, I guess the name says it all. But Centerfolds gets a lot of attention, and we've talked about Larry Flint. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of backstory to him and, you know, shadiness that people have talked about. But Crazy Horse, like I said, was actually mentioned, and Sophia's has been brought up a couple times too. And I think, if I'm not mistaking, Spearmint Rhino and Sapphires are also pretty popular strip clubs in Vegas. Now, let's be real. There's probably 15, 20 different strip clubs within the city, and there's so many you can check out. More than likely, you're not going to check them all out, but for the most part, if you're looking for something different and you're trying to do something different that you may not do at home, or if you want to take the wife out and spice up something, try something different with her. And obviously, I'm not talking, you know, going and trying to do something illegal with the stripper, but you can go out, still have a good time, you know, enjoy the company of a beautiful woman dancing in front of you and showing you a little extra and just going on about your business. I mean, nobody says you have to go and, you know, do stuff with them, but for the most part, you can still go out and have a great time. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Interesting thing about Crazy Horse, was it Crazy Horse, the strip club that was connected to a couple of mafia type having their heads cut off?
I'm sure that's probably all of them.
Okay, because I understand correctly. I think it was Crazy Horse that was the club that was involved, that somebody probably was taking money that shouldn't have went their way, and they got caught and bad things happen, and oh yeah, it got rather messy, shall we say. But again, that's Vegas. But that's any place when you have a lot of money rolling through a strip club with probably maybe the most honest people in the world running them, bad things will happen.
And it's really funny you mentioned that, because I do. I have reached out to a couple of different people over the last couple of months over on my show about talking about kind of the same realm, not strip clubs in general, but the bunny ranches and the cat houses and the chicken ranches and stuff that they have out on the outer skirts of the city, that I'm going to more than likely be talking to one of the ladies who works at one of these places and ask her in detail how this stuff works, because I have some idea how it works. I mean, through different documentaries on YouTube, but those are pretty interesting to me, considering, you know, people go there specifically for this act. I mean, that was kind of mind-boggling to me. So yeah, that's very interesting.
when you look at it, and this is a show for adults, right? I would hope that people are minding their kids, because as we're not going to be too graphic, but we may be talking about stuff, right?
Yeah.
If I'm a guy and I want to go and go out of town and get something I can get at home, say, right? If I go to one of these houses, I can guess basically, if I understand it correctly, I can basically get whatever I want to a degree and pay for it, but might pay having to be paying through the nose. Because I don't think they're cheap, are they? Any idea how much you might run?
Well, and from what, from what I understand, just to go in and spend time and do the basic, what the girl is going to run you, at least from what I'm understanding, at least $500 to anywhere, depending on the girl, anywhere $700. And that's just basically, you know, the basic. But if you're looking
basics,
from what I'm understanding, these documentaries, you can basically stay with a girl all night, hang out with her, I mean, rent her basically. And, you know, from what I understand, the packages go up to, you know, thousands of dollars. So, I mean, it gets pretty expensive. And again, these girls are something you can do anything you want with. So I think that's the thing for a lot of people who go there, especially like married men and stuff like that, because they're going to get something they're not, I guess that's out of their realm, something they're not used to, and they're going to, if they're going to try something different, they're going to try it with somebody there, I guess. But,
and a trusted environment.
I'm excited to chat.
We're looking for your leadership on this, in this issue, because I can't go there anytime soon and find that out for myself, right? But if I'm going to go someplace out of town and try to get something strange, if I may say, and my fetish is pretending that I'm the 15-year-old school boy and this is my math teacher keeping me out after school, right? That may cost me a lot of money. Because I'm not a good-looking 21-year-old guy with muscles in my muscles. I'm a 60-year-old fat man, right? And she might have to work at stuff, if I may be so blunt, right?
And so are you saying she might charge you an extra $5 for your rate?
At least. But that's fine, because, again, we're going there with the understanding, right? I'm paying for professional service. Right.
And again, this is one thing to keep in mind. Like, us thinking about it and talking about it is like, it sounds weird. And that's one thing I had the discussion with this lady about at this ranch is it just me, or is it weirder to think about leading up to it rather than the people that come here who, you know, they already know the lay down, what they want. So it's not weird to certain types of individuals, maybe because they've done it already. To think in general, you know, if I were to go to this place and spend money, what would I ask for? You know, so, I mean, that's the mindset for me. Like, what would I want to do? What would I want to give thousands of dollars of my money for to have something done to me for the first time, I guess? I don't fucking know.
I don't know either, but that's the thing is, because to me, let's compare and contrast just for a minute. When I was 25, I went to my first duty station at Fort Hood, Texas. My first weekend off post, I got paid. I had about a bunch of money. And I went to downtown Killeen, Texas, with a couple of my guys from my unit with me, because I wanted to get a hooker. So they took me where I could find a hooker. They took me where I could find a hooker. And I walked into the bar to find myself a hooker. I found two hookers for the price of one, right? And needless to say, I was rolled, right, instantly. As soon as I walked out of that door, I was done, right? Boom, it happens. Glove of Lawrence, it's the Army, it happens, right? But to be able to go to a safe place, knowing it's legal, knowing that the girls are checked, knowing that at the end of the day, that if I put my wallet down, and I'm staying the night, I have $1,000 in my wallet. When I wake up in the morning, the $1,000 is going to be still there. Right? And if my fetish is that, again, I'm not 15-year-old schoolboy being kept after school because I need extra tutoring, I'm going to have that experience. You know?
And you're right. Everybody's different. You may want the 15-year-old teacher experience, and I mean, everybody's different. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
So it's what fits you, I guess.
It's what trips your trigger. It's like going to Vegas. What trips your trigger? I mean, going to the party pit at the D, which I'm told they still have a party pit, right? I mean,
yeah.
Kansas the theme of this conversation. I'm an old man about to die, okay? Keep that firmly in mind, right? So if I can go to the D to a party pit with cash, say I have a couple of $1,000, and I'm playing whatever game, let's say I'm playing craps, right? I'm losing horribly,
yeah.
Right? But if the girl smiles at me and says I'm seeing something halfway decent and encouraging, does it mind that I might be staring someplace I might not want to be staring at in public, right? And I tip her a $20 or $50 bill, right? I'm going to have a good experience. She's going to get more money, you know, than she usually gets tipped. Everybody's a winner.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, and even if you're on a point to where your luck is going bad, you don't even have to keep giving it to the tables. You could slide it right in her nylon.
No.
No, yeah, you can tip the dancers. They dance right in front of you. I mean, they're in the middle
at
of the
D, at the D, because if you say yes, I'm on my way, my speed starts to walk.
Yeah, they dance in the middle of their pit, but a lot of the times over at, and that would be at Golden Gate, but at the D, they're literally dancing right next to you because it's so compact. It's a small casino. The craps tables and the dancers are basically right. All you got to do is reach over and you can slide any denomination chip you want in their nylons, no problem.
I'm so there.
Yeah, and it does. It makes for a good time, especially like when me and the wife were playing and she's like, oh, look at that one. And I start looking and I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm trying to focus on the game. And then I'm, you know, trying to look at, not try to look at this woman that my wife wants me to look at. But I mean, there's a lot going on. And it's a good time.
I mean, the idea of kind of a good time. I mean, to me, Vegas is decadence, right? To me, Vegas is decadent fun. Vegas is, you ever see the entourage where Vince and the boys go to Vegas? And Johnny Drama gets in a fight with that redhead. I can't think of it. Seth Green.
Oh, okay.
You remember the episode I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's my type of Vegas. You can go there, you can get drunk, you can get stupid, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully your friends. So you want your friends, you want to have a sober friend with you to sit there and say, Wayne, you've had too much drink. Wayne, you need to sit down for a while. You need to have some coffee. You shouldn't be talking to that dancer like that, right? To keep you under control because you don't want to. There's a difference between being silly and being stupid and being kind of funny and being that drunk, obnoxious asshole that nobody wants to be around.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting conversation, too, to have the sober person in the group because if I don't know. I don't know of a group that's taken the sober friend with them to Vegas. But if I had a sober friend that came with us to Vegas, he's probably not going to be our friend by the time we get home because we're always on the go. We got shit to do. We rarely sleep. There's strip clubs. There's casinos. There's friends we have. There's owners we got to see every trip. So, I mean, we're always on the go. So, and like you said, if you got a group of guys who want to go out to a strip club at night and you got one sober dude, that sober dude better just hang back that night because he's going to probably see a lot of things he probably doesn't want to, you know. He's going to see his friends get wild. He's going to see, you know, things happen. So, I mean, it's that's an interesting conversation, you know. The conversation of kids was brought up on our show, you know, coming out with the family, you know, should you bring your kids? Shouldn't you bring your kids? And, you know, on the feedback from Twitter, for the podcast, we've gotten like a 50-50 type thing where some are like, yes, you can take kids. There's plenty of things, which there is. There's plenty of things to do with family. And some are like, no, when I go to Vegas, I just want to go and do me, which is totally understandable,
right,
too.
I mean, the Vegas, I would experience taking my wife, she ever go back to Vegas, right? And I would have was a different experience of Vegas than I would have by myself. Would I still see the Mountain Museum? You better believe it, right? I want to see them. I think you have a museum that I can see some displays with showgirls. I want to see that too, right? I want that part of history. I wouldn't mind seeing a silver mine simply so I could say I saw one, right? But the far cry different that Vegas I would have because I'm not going to take my wife to the D. because I don't think my wife wants to see me come on to the dealer. I don't think my wife wants to see me to deal, give the dealer who's kind of dancing, right, with red hair and things bouncing, a $50 bill. I don't think she wants to see that. And frankly speaking, I don't want her to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And it's funny you're mentioning your wife, going with your wife and without your wife, because I've done, I think last year I was in 6-7 different trips, and I think I did 3 with the wife and 4 without her. So I got that realm of it too, where, you know, there's certain things where, hey, you can just kind of relax. And then when the wife's there, you're like, all right, I want you to check out the Mob Museum. After that, we're going to the Neon Museum. After that, we're going to Neonopolis, and we're going to all these places. So you want to show them and, you know, show them things you've seen and been turned on to by friends. And that's what I love doing the podcast, is because we get listeners who are like, hey, I don't know if you guys ever heard of this place, you might want to check it out. And the next thing you know, it ends up on our list to do every time that we go, because it was a fun, cool little tiki bar. The server was really cool and down to earth, that we want to go see them the next time we go back, you know. So there's so much more to going by yourself and cutting loose and doing what you want on your own pace. When I go by myself, like I said, I'm go, go, go. I rarely sleep, and if I'm not gambling, I'm with friends and we're tearing up the town. We're over riding rides at Circus or checking out, you know, different theme parks throughout the area. So, I mean, there's so much that you can do and enjoy. Plus, you know, it's Vegas. And, well, you know, when if you do have the kids and you decide to go hang out at a certain place, you guys come back, time to relax. Well, guess what? It's now time for the parents to go hang out. So, I mean, there's always something to do with Vegas, and that's why I love the city so much. That's why I frequent it so much, because the relationships we've made, the people we've got to meet and hang out with that come out on group trips with us and like to explore the town, that's my favorite thing to do, is just go and explore new places and check out holes in the wall type deal.
I think this is the best thing ever, having to bring you on my show, because I'm thinking I'm getting an education in Vegas. I made a valuable contact for some things I would like to do. Let me ask you this question. Maybe you can help me out here, because something I don't understand.
Yes.
As you know, you may not know, I write books in the mafia, right? And serial killers and stuff, right? And okay. I get a pushback when I talk to different people in Vegas out trying to sponsor my work, because they like to say that they're embarrassed about that part of history, right? And I get it.
Yeah.
That nobody wants to. I don't want to go to a casino where on the wall you have a picture of, say, the ants stomping in someone's skull, right? That's kind of gross, and I don't want to see that, right? But to sit there and say we can't use the mafia history of Vegas, and it's quite a strong one, as you all know, to get young men to come to our casino to do whatever, right? I don't get that. Can you explain that to me?
I think it's a lot of it, especially with like new ownerships and the way they operate today, I think what they like to do, and, you know, regardless of how much they want to do it, they'll never achieve it. They want to forget what Vegas used to be and how it was brought up and how it was made and who made this thing what it is today. And I think they're trying to get away from that, but the Vegas lovers, the historians, the people who frequent the city, I mean, they never forget. That's part of, you know, why we love it, because of how it was made up, the way it was brought together, the big names back in the day, the Spilatros, you know, the Rosenthal's. I mean, just so many good people, and, I mean, the movies that were made about the city. I mean, there's so much to it that I think that with every good, there's a lot of bad. And I think ultimately they want to just be known for the good, move forward and forget the bad and let the past be the past and, you know, try to forget that. But it'll never happen, because that's why we love Vegas, because of the way it was made. You know, the mobs brought it to us and they ran it, and the stories that go with it and the history of the town is just mind-blowing to me. I mean, I can watch documentaries and stuff about that place with so many new items I've found in documentaries, and I'm like, just mind blown. Like, fuck, are you kidding me? I mean, that's really, really interesting to know. Yeah.
Some of the things I have on my desk are casino chips from the mobbed up casinos, right? And I got a pin from one of the casinos, those mobbed up casino. And when I go to Vegas, should I go to Vegas, Well, some of the places I'm going to visit, some of the places I'm going to be losing money at, right? Because I want to, for that brief moment of time, spend some money, you know, play a couple slot machines, maybe lose a bit of money at roulette. I can sit there that brief moment of time, playing. Yeah, I'm here. I'm playing this real well, and come up behind me is the ants are here. Come up behind me. I'm going to go to the sports book and talk to Lefty, right? I mean, my Vegas, right? If individuals want to make Vegas clean, they better forget about how Steve Wynn made his money. They better forget about that woman that drowned in Lake Mead, right? Because that's the history. You can't forget. It can't be buried. I mean, they can try, but people will dig it up.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
You know, getting back to our late night Vegas fun time. In your opinion, as the expert that you are, how much money should I take with me to hit my strip clubs?
I'd say you can go to a strip club and you can walk out, spend less than $100 and have a good time. I mean, you don't need to, you know, you don't need to splurge. Again, the drinks, the way they do things is they overprice the two drinks. So that's your two drinks and your admission in. And then, you know, then it's like a free-for-all. You get to go do what you want, get lap dances from who you want. So, you know, three lap dances, you're in $60. A couple drinks in, you know, on top of your two overpriced drinks, you're probably at about $100 right there. And again, I mean, that doesn't have to be, you know, an hour's worth of time. That can be all night. That can be drawn out through you and friends hanging out and just having a good time at this place. And, oh, you know what, we want to go check out another one that's pretty similar, or, you know, something of that nature. But you don't have to go in and spend hundreds and thousands of dollars. You can go and spend $100 and have a good time. Even less if, you know, if it's not your thing, you want to just go in, check it out, have a couple drinks and say you've been there, you can do that too.
Do that too. And again, we should remember the old idea that you're not going to get a dancer to come out of the strip club with you.
No, unless you're like yourself and you have a really big wallet sticking out in that backside, they might go home with you.
Yeah, but it's pretty slim and none. I mean, here, the big thing, there's a couple of them up here by Milwaukee where I live near, and that's one thing I tell the young men who go up there is, you know, I got paid, I got so much money, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I go, no, you might go there, you're going to spend a lot of money on alcohol, you're going to tip these girls a lot, but they're not going to go anywhere with you.
Oh, yeah, you know? It's the same thing with, it's the same thing with, like, what are they, I can't think of the name. The service girls, bottle service girls in the nightclub scenes, you know, they say the same type of things. Oh, we get hit on all the time, numbers and stuff, because there's a lot of clubs out in Vegas where the bottle girl scene's pretty big, you know. A girl can make, you know, a couple $1,000s a night on, you know, selling bottles up to, I mean, and having that look to her, she can make a good living. So the bottle service scene, they say some of the type of same things, you know, because people are coming in, they're dropping money, they're thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to go home with this guy because he's got money and he's a baller, and that's not the case. That's just their job. That's what they're there to do. So for strippers,
absolutely,
some of the same thing. Hey, that's how they make their money.
Right, and they know, and they can play a mark just like anybody else. I mean,
oh, yeah, and I think for them, everybody's, you know, they don't know you. For them, they can make up any story they want. One guy, she's Jennifer. The next guy, she's Lisa. So you're like, oh, shit, I thought I just came to see Lisa last week.
And Lisa has a child. She's a single mom. Her husband left her for whatever reason. She's a single mom going to school. And, oh, my God, I got these bills I have to pay. Oh, can you please pay my book rental fee? It's only $150. Oh, yeah. And again, when you walk, this would be a mean way to see me to say it, but this, I'll be blunt. If you walk into a nightclub, a strip club, or anything else, where those are the type of, when the women know they're going to be hit on as prey, right? You better believe that an intelligent one among them is going to become the predator in a quick hurry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because in my opinion, Wayne Klingman, who wants to come in and be the fat old man with money, is dumb enough to talk up to a girl bullshit, right? And she can manipulate Wayne to do something stupid. She should be doing that because I'm an idiot.
But you'd be amazed. And that's just, you know, let's be real. How much people are there drinking? You know, how imagine how much easier it is for those strippers to manipulate and do what they want to people who are already inebriated. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's what we have that sober friend there for, not to, because Wayne's here. He's half hammered at the bar, right? He's talking to some young hat redhead, right? With the right. And my sober friend says, Wayne, we've had too much to drink. Let's go for a walk. You know.
Yeah.
Because we've had that discussion before we got to the club. He knows what we. He knows my predetermined set limits, right? He might even hold some of my cash in case I get really stupid. I have something to go on with. You know, those old things we learned to do in the Army. You know, and those tricks do well. Those safety measures do well because I don't want to be hurt. My friends are sure I don't want to be hurt. We don't need to be still doing something stupid. So the last thing I want to have happen, which you need to also talk about, is I suspect it doesn't take much if I get too obnoxious to meet Mr. Nevada Las Vegas policeman.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that might not be an experience I want.
No, I agree. I think when it comes to Vegas, and again, we've talked about strip clubs, and again, I've mentioned, you know, there's so much more than, you know, and that was my thing when I went to Vegas for the first time. Like, fuck, you can just gamble here, and that's all you can do. I mean, you can do anything you want but gambling, and I can smoke cigarettes inside. Like, what? It blew my mind, and then I started realizing, oh, shit, you don't just have to gamble here. They got all kinds of different themed casinos that you can go and check out. They got killer restaurants. And I'm a chef, so I was like, oh, shit. I mean, the next following trips, I'm like, all right. Then I found myself, you know, just going strictly to restaurants. And I'm like, no, that's got to stop because then I'm just, you know, eliminating everything I want to do, which is gamble and hang out with people. So it's for every person, Vegas has something to offer. And that's one thing I've noticed. It doesn't matter if you're a partier or if you're a historian or you're just somebody who just wants to come and gamble. Everybody tends to go to this place because at some point there's something about that place that people tend to enjoy or are intrigued about, whether it be cat houses, casinos, different places like that. There's something for everybody for Vegas, and that's what I've always said. I think Vegas has something to offer for everyone.
So we've now established beyond a doubt that the casino I want to stop at that I hope I can stay at is the D, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So how much am I looking at day and night at the D?
So if you become a player with them and you're basic, I don't play very much. I'm a low roller. You can get rooms for as low as like $40 a night. I mean, obviously weekends are a little bit busier. You're looking at $70, something like that in that area. The suite's a little more expensive, but if you give them consistent play, you can get yourself comp rooms during the week, no problem. The D, the Golden Gate, they're pretty good and pretty lenient about, you know, play. They're not looking for high rollers like the Strip. Downtown tends to get a larger amount of low rollers, so they're used to that, which is, you know, it's downtown. That's what people go there to do. So when you get places like the D and you get Downtown Grand and the Plaza, Main Street, these places, they are a little cheaper to stay at downtown. And for me, downtown is kind of my cup of tea because it's a little more wild as opposed to the Strip, which is, you know, everything's a little more spaced out, more of a walk, and everything's in your vicinity when you're in downtown. So that's kind of why I like downtown. But yes, there's something for everybody for sure. But yes, the D,
absolutely.
You're looking at $45-$50 a night probably. And then if you gamble enough, you can probably get all that pumped at the end of your stay.
I expect that we'll probably have a conversation off the air about a couple ideas that I have because I think you're the person who could help me make them happen. I'm a person who believes.
Oh, okay.
I believe firmly, for the record, for anybody out here who hears this show, if you can help me with my plans, I do believe in splitting commissions because the world goes around. You know, the more we help each other out, and that means if you help me get my plan, I get paid, you get paid. That's the way it has to be.
There it is.
Because I think you would have had experience, too, where people want things for if they want you to pay them, but when it comes time for you to wet your beak, they don't know who the fuck you are.
Yes. And it is funny. I've gotten in contact with a lot of different people from Vegas throughout, you know, doing the show over the last 2 years. And we've talked to different people from, you know, the Vegas Review Journal. We've talked to, you know, we've had Anthony Curtis. We've talked to a couple different personalities. And it is, that's what I love about it, is everybody's so different. And everybody knows everybody out there. So when you meet somebody and you cross paths with somebody and they're like, dude, I want you to meet this guy. And this guy owns this casino. And you're like, whoa, I'm a nobody. You know, I'm a nobody. And they want me. They're like, dude, you're super down to earth. You like to have a good time. And that's one thing I love about doing the podcast, is literally I get together with groups of people in Vegas to hang out and just have a blast with. And yes, along the ride is, you know, information about Vegas, how we do stuff, how, you know, to earn your points and stuff like that. But there's a lot more when it comes to Vegas that, you know, people just don't know about.
They don't know about. And the thing is, like, this is what I like. This is what I really, really like about the idea of Vegas. And when if I'm wrong, please correct me, because I don't mind making mistakes. I just don't like being wrong and not being corrected, right? I believe strongly that, I'm going to use the D as an example. It's the name of a casino. We can actually say who it is. Let's say who it is. This isn't a casino,
okay.
Right?
Right.
But when I was talking to Hooters about doing something with them where I was going to do a live stream presentation for the Mob World Summit, right, that happened in Vegas a couple of years ago, and they were talking about potentially comping my stay for myself and my cameraman, that could have happened because they knew, even though the event was going to be held at their casino, that because we said we're being comped by Hooters, right, that we liked them, that we're going to do our own little room thing there and talk about whatever we're going to talk about there, that they knew that people would hear the podcast I was doing at that time, see the videos I would shoot, see them mentioned nicely in the books I had done on Frank, our guy up in Milwaukee, Godfather up there, right, that they knew for a fact that, A, people would come and stay at their rooms, they would gamble at their place, they'd eat their food at Hooters, and overall, they would get their money back and then some. And that's what's called connections.
It's really funny you're mentioning that, because it's the same thing we've been talking about, is, you know, people using cameras in a casino, and, you know, and that's one thing about the podcast, like, at first, when I first started the podcast, I'd approach people, hey, you know, we do a podcast. We have a group of people coming in. We got about 30 of us. You know, rather we'd be in the casino and we want to take a picture. Just taking a picture could be a task, you know, because you're in the casino. Nobody wants to go outside a group of people. We want to take a picture in the casino. So we asked somebody, hey, you know, the first time we did it, but the second time we did it. The first time we kind of, security came over, hey, no pictures in the casino. We're like, hey, we're just taking a picture of our group. We're not taking a picture of anybody gambling or anything like that. We're just taking a picture of the group. And at first they were a little apprehensive. No, no cameras. We don't do anything like that. But then later along the road, I'd start to go to different places like downtown where things are a lot more lenient. And even Cosmo, for that matter, who's super, you know. And I think it's what's the new one that changed over? Monte Carlo. Oh, the Park, MGM. They actually are allowing people to record their slot play and stuff and video in the casino. So I know companies are moving towards that, you know, thing, but a lot of people are still very apprehensive about any kind of social media outside of the casino, especially like tribal casinos. There's tribal casinos that are totally, nope, I don't want any kind of affiliation with you. We have our own kind of marketing team. Yeah. Like, they don't want any outsiders inside. And I think that's always been the ideal stance for casinos until recently, where people can go and they start realizing, hey, these YouTubers have a quiet following. They can bring a group of people in and make potentially a few extra. Yeah. So a lot of people don't operate that way.
And because, one, they may not understand it. I think once you have the right person you can explain things to, they can get it. And the thing about using my book, somebody's sponsoring my book as a way to get people with the code, they can track sales, right?
I think it's a generation thing. Like, it's so, I think the only way that it's going to change and morph is when the younger people start, you know, in the casino industry, start realizing that, hey, it's not hurting anybody. This is a popular thing. I mean, some of these YouTubers have, you know, thousands and thousands of followings. They bring the big, Yeah, I mean, they bring groups. So, I mean, like the big jackpot, and they play big. They put group pools together. So it can be beneficial for the casino if they use it the right way. And I think that's where the older generation that, you know, has always felt like they have something to secure and they have to be, they can't do this. I think it's the younger generation that's going to be willing to morph towards that. All right, maybe we can
right.
do this. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not. And I think that's what it's going to take in order for that to change. But I could be totally wrong, too.
No, I think you're right in some aspects. And before I denounce tribal gaming, which is a whole other show, is this.
Yeah.
I did a movie, and Frank, I won't even try to pronounce his last name, our guy fell out of Milwaukee, right? We've
okay.
had 500,000 views on YouTube. 500,000, right?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Nice gig. Nice paid for the movie itself, right? Okay.
Right.
Out of that 500,000 viewers, right, I will bet money that if we had a code where go to Hooters, again, the hotel
mm-hmm.
doesn't exist anymore,
yep.
and Hooters, use this code, get whatever, right, a free meal or what it might be, that some amount of those people would have went, you better believe they would have went to Hooters. You better believe they would use that code.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and
oh,
that
yeah.
resident there, Hooters gets a pool of people that they know how their email, they now can email them, they know how can do email marketing. And with half a plan, you get some young, challenging chicken poo calling them up. Hey, Fred, hey, Wayne, it's been a while since we've seen
right.
you in Vegas. Come down in the month of March and get 15% of your room. Oh, we got this show, I'll let you in for free. Oh, you know, if I know it, and I'm an old dead man, right, they have to know it, right? And the thing
yeah.
is, too, there's all kinds of possibilities in use. The thing I like to talk about a lot, the mafia, to get people to watch the film, get people to read a book and say, hey, this is a good book, and I can use this code, and I can go to Hooters. Anyway, enough of that. I just think talking to you and your enthusiasm about Vegas brings out my enthusiasm for Vegas. I hope other people listening brings out their enthusiasm for Vegas, and we all get to go. Now, where do we find your podcast, sir, please?
So you can find our podcast on any of the podcast listening platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, you name it. We're all over the place. If you just put in, you know, Vegas Confessions in your web browser, you will come up on different sites. We are three different hosts who like to talk, you know, everything gambling, casinos from, again, one of our guys, he's a host, or one of our hosts is in the East Coast, so we're in the West Coast, so we gamble, and we meet up at different locations, whether it be AC, Vegas, there's a trip planned for Biloxi in April. We like
yeah,
to
yeah.
get together, we like to have a blast. I mean, for the most part, if you're into good stories, if you like to laugh, check out the podcast. It's called Vegas Confessions, and we do episodes about every 2 weeks. This last month, we've been off for a little time as we're getting some changes going on, but there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff on the table. We got documentaries and a very, very interesting interviews coming up with some casino personalities and Vegas-related people.
Outstanding. And you talk about Biloxi, and then, of course, we talk about the Dixie Mafia, where thick as flies in Biloxi.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Which, again, that brings people to that because people don't know why it is, right? I mean, there's a difference between the real-life mafia that we know are discussing human beings and all kinds of things, the horrible things they did to innocent people. We know this, right? But there's also
yeah.
something about the mafia that gets us to watch The Sopranos, watch Goodfellas,
yeah.
watch Casino, yeah. buy the books and stuff. And you better believe, I bet you money that if we could do a half-ass event about the Dixie Mafia and Biloxi during your weekend coming up in April, and we could fill the place with people who want to hear a lecture about the Dixie Mafia. And when they get done, we'll dump a ton of money at a gambling casino. Oh, God, yes.
Without a doubt. That'd be awesome. That would be fun.
We should
I
talk
love
about
stuff
this.
Like that. So I'm down. I mean, when I saw you message me and I saw Mafia, I'm like, wait a minute, what? And so I started reading more into it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is my type of stuff because I do. I watch documentaries. I YouTube stuff all day about this kind of stuff. So I enjoy it. I do.
It's interesting. I mean, to me, it's fascinating. I mean, I've learned so much about not only mafia history, but regional history, city history. I mean, I was shocked. I'm not a big Steve Wynn fan. I don't know a lot about him, but I'm reading the books and stuff like that, right? But to find
uh-huh.
out that he has a connection to what I'm going to refer to as the LDS Mafia, right? And a little accent like me, where somebody might have been an FBI informant. Well, she did Durell, but maybe she was flushed, right? And all that money from Teamsters that paid for those casinos went through the guy's bank, the LDS Mafia's bank, right? Wait a second. Aren't they supposed to check these connections? Aren't they supposed to do due diligence and who they're doing business with? No, or is it because he's a – again, no offense against the guy. I'm not criticizing the Mormon church any way, shape, or form, right? But you think a leader of a church would – if I don't want to check someone's background thoroughly, right? I'm a fat man. He would. And he's not fat, right? But that's what makes Vegas or Biloxi or Atlantic City, to me, part of wanting to be that experience because, no, do I ever want to meet the real-life Tony Soprano? No, you know, such a person exists. No, right? I don't.
Right.
Do I want to go to Biloxi, Mississippi, say, talk to you, talk to other people, give an hour lecture to a bunch of fans of that part of history, maybe bring in an expert about that, too, and talk about that, too, and sell some books and get people jazzed up? Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun because fun's the name of the game, right? And through your expertise in Lake Night Mafia, Vegas, I now know that the D is where I'm going to fucking live. I'm going to live the D. And I'm going to have all my shirts in all the bills. And I'm going to put a big name tag on me the whole time. Hi, my name is Mr. Big, right? My name is Mr. Big. I tip in hundreds, right? Or I tip in 50s, right?
Yeah.
And I bet you money. I will bet you money I will have a good – I will come on broke, right? But I bet you a good – I will bet you I will have a fun time because, you know, I mean, that's what matters. At my age, right, my grandson's coming to the room. He's going to vacuum for us. That's a nice thing, too, it's okay. It's nice seeing you today, Baxton. We are a family-friendly show. We think it's really great to have the grandkids here.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
I'm amazed my son hasn't jumped in here. Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, think about kids. You know, think about Vegas. In my opinion, I mean, some things, if I was going to Vegas to whatever it might be and have to bring my kids, yeah, I'm going to make sure I do the kid-friendly things with them, right? I'm going to do that because there are some there too. But no way in hell am I going to go. No way in heck am I going to bring them to a late-night Vegas nightclub. One, I would hope they wouldn't let me in, right? But that'd be so inappropriate. But yeah, I mean, I think I show up as Mr. I would also have to hand out my alias Mr. Big books to any redheaded dealers there, so they knew what they were getting themselves into. But again, I want to thank you for coming on this show. It meant a lot to me, sir.
Hey man, this has been fun. And one thing I will end on is you need to stay away from the D. And if you do ever happen to make it to Vegas, I would love to show you around, brother, for sure. Anytime, man.
I have to go to the D. I know. So what we have to do is this. Imagine this. I'm going to go to the D and spend my money tipping redhead dealers, right? That's a given, right? But then I'm going to go up to my room, right, where I'm going to watch. I would hope I'm sure they have TVs. But I'm on a DVD or DVR or Blu-ray, whatever else it might have for me. I'm going to watch old-time B sci-fi films with my good friend, Internet Crush, Heather Ferris of Vegas Aces, and eat cold pizza. Because that's all part of the idea, too. I want to thank you for being on the show. I hope to have you on again soon. And I'll be communicating with you as well with some ideas, see what we might be able to make happen. It's a nice pleasure. I want to thank you very much. You've really brought my enthusiasm for a lot of things.
Hey, I appreciate it, brother. And it's always fun to do. And anytime you want a good conversation, give me a holler, brother.
Yes, sir. Again, thank you very much. And one more time, where do we find your webpage?
It's called the Vegas Confessions Podcast. Check us out, guys.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. I'll be in touch soon.
Be well, brother.
Yep. Bye. What a great show. Yeah, we kind of drifted off subject from time to time, but that's what makes this show.
Hey, no worries. Yep. You got to have fun with it. That's what makes it fun.
Absolutely. It is makes it fun. It's all too easy. We can get all too stodgy and set in our ways, right? It's always more fun than having somebody can only answer your questions with yes or no. Alrighty then. So thanks again, sir, for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it, and I will be in touch soon.
Awesome, man. Let me know when you put a link up and you share everything, and I'll share it too on our Twitter feed.
Absolutely. And remember, buy my book, Frank, whatever's last time, I can't pronounce my own name. But you can find my book by going to Amazon and put in my name, Wayne Kligman, and my book and Frank will be there. Please buy lots. Buy one, give one to your friends. Thank you again so much. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.